Well, today we're bringing our study in the book of Thessalonians to an end, and we're going to look at the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. It's a fairly long passage of scripture. I know last week the message went on a little bit longer, but I'll try and keep it a little bit shorter tonight, but today there's a lot of material to get through. So let me read for us. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. That the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he will not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and to earn the bread they eat. But as for you, brothers, never tire in doing what is right. If anyone does not obey any our instruction in the letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet, don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you in all you do. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark of my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Those last two sentences there, Paul said, I write this in my own writing, tells us a little bit about the Apostle Paul. Most scholars think that he had a problem with his eyes and he couldn't see very well. And so he had other people write the actual manuscripts for him. And at the end of them, he would just add his own final greeting. And this is clear evidence of one of those situations where he says, and on another occasion he says, look how big my writing is, which kind of gives us the feeling that his eyes were a little bit weak. So Paul's been writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica, but not only the church at Thessalonica, to the church in general, as an encouragement to them and as a guide to them as to how they should live, particularly in the light of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as he brings these instructions to a close, he gives us some final instructions. And I've entitled the message this morning, Guidelines to Growing Healthy Churches. Because that was Paul's wish. Paul's wish that this church, this particular church, and all the churches that read this particular letter would be healthy and strong. And so there are a number of things he says in this letter that help us know and how to be a healthy church. So what should happen for us to be a healthy church? Well, the first thing that should happen, friends, that Paul reminds them about is to pray for your leaders. Pray for the leaders of the church. That's what he says. Brothers, he says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. just as it was when we were with you, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. Why does Paul say and encourage people to pray for church leaders? Well, there are a couple of reasons. The first one is this. Friends, pastors can get very discouraged because the work of the Lord takes a long time. It's not something that happens very quickly. He says, pray that they may prosper. You know, one of the difficulties of being a pastor is that sometimes you work with a person for many, many years only to have that person disappoint you in the end. To choose a life which is different to what you have taught them. And it's very discouraging as a pastor when you have spent years and years and years inputting into the life of somebody only to discover that they're not wanting to follow the Lord any longer. When I first started out in ministry, I worked as a computer programmer as well. And I discovered the difference between working in the secular environment and working in the Christian environment. As a computer programmer, as I worked in the computer and I kind of wrote the programs to keep the computer going, if I made a mistake, friends, very quickly the computer would tell me, you've made a mistake and there's an error. In computer terminology, we call it WYSIWYG. What you say is what you get. That's the word we use in computer language. WYSIWYG. What you say is what you get. And if you tell a computer rubbish, it gives you rubbish. That's the reality. It happened very quickly. But not so with the church. Friends, we worked for years before we see the results of our work. Some people never see the fruit of their work. They may just be. Remember Jesus said when he told about the parables of the spreading of the seed. He said, some spread the seed, some till the soil, and some reap. Well, some of us, friends, are just the spreaders of the seed. We may never see fruit. So that's why you need to pray for us, friends, that we will continue to be that we won't be discouraged. Secondly, you need to pray for your leaders, friends, because let me remind you, they are in the first firing line of the attack of the evil one. Pastors, friends, they need protection from the devil. Not everybody who joins a church, friend, is a Christian. They may sound like a Christian. They may act like a Christian. I heard a preacher this last week. He said, why aren't people becoming Christians? A British preacher. And he said there are two reasons why people are becoming Christians. He said the first one is they not becoming Christians because they've never met another Christian. And that's true in England, let me tell you. In England, true Christians are few and far between. But then he said, you know, there's another reason why some people haven't become a Christian. He said it is because some of them have met a Christian. Do you see the difference? There are some that aren't becoming Christians because they've never met a Christian. But there are some that aren't becoming Christians because they have met somebody who is a Christian. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are many people, friends, who think they're a Christian. But they're not really a Christian, are they? They may say the words. They may sing the words. They may come to church, they may do the thing, but friends, they're not. And the reality is, Paul is reminding the church, please pray for your pastors let me say, friends, that most of the difficulty I have encountered in my experience as a pastor are in people who come to church who are not involved in the life of the church. They sit on the edge and they throw stones. Every time the leadership of the church wants to do something, they throw stones at the leadership. They complain about the leadership, but they do nothing in the life of the church. And I'm sad to say, that is what Paul is talking about. Pray for your pastors, friends, because not everybody is a Christian, even although they may claim to be. The second message he gives us is not only pray for the leaders, but he says, encourage the members. Encourage faithful members. Verse 3 to 5. The Lord is faithful and will strengthen and protect you. He's talking about the members now. From the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you, those are the members, are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So how should we encourage the fellow believers? How should we encourage faithful believers? The first way we can encourage ourselves, friends, and each other is to remind ourselves all the time the devil is defeated. Turn to somebody next to you and say to them, the devil is defeated. Come on a little bit louder than that. Say, the devil is defeated. Friends, that's what Paul is reminding them. God is faithful. He'll protect you from the devil. Listen to these two verses, friends. Hebrews chapter 2. Since the children are flesh and blood, Jesus shed, so that by his death he may destroy him who holds the power of the dead, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Jesus, friends, by his death has defeated the enemy. We don't need to be afraid of the enemy. Colossians says this, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friend, we can encourage each other with that message. The devil is defeated. But not only is the devil defeated, we're also protected. We're protected from the devil. Listen to Psalm 91. I know many people have got a sticker on the back of their car that says protected by Psalm 91. I love the Message translation. Listen to this translation. You who sit down in God's presence, spend the night in El Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God is my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arm protects you. Under them you are perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day, nor disease that prowls through the darkness, nor dark disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others may succumb to all around, drop like flies left and right, no harm will ever graze you. You stand untouched, watch it all from a distance, watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, God is your refuge, the high God your home. Evil can get close to you, the psalm says, but harm can't enter the door. Thank you. Friends, yes, the devil is not only defeated, but we are protected. Friends, the second thing we can encourage each other with is that rejoicing the fact that true believers are serving God. There's nothing that fills my heart with greater joy than to see people serve God. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. It is the Lord you are serving." Yesterday I was in the Pick and Pay. Now as I was in the Pick and Pay doing some shopping and doing a few things, there were two ladies walking around them. You could obviously see they were twins. Mature ladies, in their 70s already, the way they told me their age and everything. And the one came up to me and she said to me, "Do you know Jesus loves you?" I didn't know the lady from a bar of soap. So I said to her, "I know, and as a pastor, I'm very happy that you're telling others about Jesus." And then we got talking. They used to come to Bethany. They grew up in Bethany, Emmanuel. They're part of the church in Berlin now. They're part of the Baptist church there. Heard the whole story of their lives. It was quite exciting. But they were a Librem. I said we've got Derek as a Librem in here. They were a set of triplets, but apparently there was a boy in the triplet and he was killed in an accident. So it was the two of the other triplets. But friends, I was so excited. Here was somebody in the middle of Pick and Pay coming to me to tell me Jesus loves me. Friends, that's what we should be doing. Rejoice that people are serving God. There's a wonderful illustration that comes out of India, friends. I researched it again just recently. Do you know that the Christian population in India is about 2.6% of the population? Not very high, but quite a big number because of the size of the population of India. Although it's only 2.6%, it's a large number of people. But do you know that somewhere between 65 and 75% of all the nurses in India are Christian? Isn't that industry? Although they only represent 2.6% of the population, almost 75% of all the nurses in India are Christian. Many of them come from the state where James and Amini come from Kerala. And in fact, there are Christian nurses throughout the world that are part of that same group. Why is that the case, friends? Because they have a heart for the service of God. We need to be encouraged by that, and we need to encourage other Christians who are serving God. The third thing we need to encourage each other to do, friends, is to redirect our plans to the plans of God. Verse 5 says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." Colossians again reminds us, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. Remember what Jesus said, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does what I tell him to do." Jesus has given you homework, friends. That's where I got my idea for my children's talk this morning. Jesus gives us homework. And are we doing the homework Jesus gives us to do? Number 3, not only must we pray for our leaders and warn, encourage faithful members, but we must also warn unfaithful members. There's a long lot of passage about unfaithful people. People who sit about and do nothing. There are 3 things Paul has to say about people who are unfaithful in the church. They may call themselves a Christian, but they're not really living like a Christian. Paul has these things to say. The first thing he says, There is no such thing as a part-time Christian. There's no Sunday Christians and Monday not a Christian. There are many who act like that. But friends, you're either a Christian or you're not. Listen to verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle, does not live according to the teaching you received from us. We hear that some among you are idle. Paul was complaining about people in the church who were benefiting from all the benefits of the church, but who were doing nothing for the church. That's what he was complaining about. The second thing he reminds us about unfaithful members, he reminds us, friends, the devil finds work for idle hands. He says, if you're not busy, you'll become a busybody. And friends, there are many churches with many busybodies. People who have got a lot to say about the life of the church, but do nothing about it. Oh, may we have busy church members, not busybody church members. People who do the work, not only complain about what has been done. Third thing we need to do, friends, we need to remember that even although they may be unfaithful, we must still treat everybody with grace and mercy. Patricia reminds me of this all the time because I'm a little bit hard sometimes. I want to, when I come across unfaithful members, I want to hit them over the head a little bit. But Patricia has to often remind me, grace, Reuben, grace, grace, grace. Be merciful and gracious. Friends, we need that to do that when it comes to unfaithful people. Fourth thing we need to do to be a healthy church, pray for spiritual leaders, encourage unfaithful members, warn unfaithful members. Number four, follow hard-working pastors. Listen to what it says. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked hard day and night, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Friends, one of the reasons why I rejoiced in bringing Brian on board, because I know I've got a high work ethic, and I wanted somebody who had the same work ethic as I do, and I found that in Pastor Brian. And I trust, friends, I'm not blowing our trumpet, but we work hard for you. We do. We're not sitting around doing nothing, friends. We are working every day to make sure that the church is functioning as effectively as it possibly can, friends. And I'm encouraging you, don't follow what we say, follow what we do. Because we want to set the example, and I trust that we are. Listen to what Jesus said. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they're like ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. By their fruit you will know them. Friends, that's my encouragement to you, for both Pastor Brian and for myself. Please see our fruit. If we're not producing fruit, get rid of us. We don't want to be lazy pastors. We want to do the work that God has called us to do. And then finally, not only must you pray for your pastors, Not only must you encourage faithful members, not only must you warn unfaithful members, not only must you follow hard-working pastors, friends, but the final thing we need to do to build a healthy church is we need to pray for all people. Prayer needs to be at the center of what we're doing, friends. That Paul ends this letter off in prayer. In everything that he said up until this point in time, everything he's spoken about, he reminds us right at the end, if it's not covered in prayer, if it's not undergirded by prayer, if prayer is not at the root of what we do, friends, we're going to fail. What are we to pray about? Friends, there are three things we need to pray about. Verse 16, he says, "Now may the Lord of peace give you peace in all times and every way." Friends, we need to pray that the peace of God would enter into people. We're living in a world that has no peace in their hearts. We need, friends, to pray that God's peace would enter into them and would enter into us. May we know the peace of God. The second thing Paul reminds them to pray about is not only the peace of God, but the presence of God. We don't only want the peace in us, we want the presence of God with us. Look what he says in verse 16. He says, "The Lord be with you all," or all of you. Friends, that's the second thing. Pray that the peace of God will be in people. Pray that the presence of God will be with them. And then finally, pray that the grace of God will be on them. Final words of Paul is verse 18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." It's not verse 16 as in the notes there, it should be verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. That's Paul's encouragement. Peace, presence, grace. Friend, are we growing a healthy church? I trust that Bethany will be seen as a healthy church. I trust that we will continue to build in such a way that the church will be strengthened. The church will be a beacon of light in this community, that many will come to know about Jesus because of their walk through the life of this church. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your involvement. I pray that you would continue to serve God as best you can, even if it is sitting at home and praying for us, friends. Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can be an evangelist. But if you can't get out, friends, you can sit at home and pray for the church. Make that your duty. Make that the work that you give to this particular church. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those reminders of what it means to be a healthy church. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the commands that, or the directions given to us in this letter, to be healthy, to be strong and growing. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Help us, Lord, as we continue to rest in your guidance, rest in your will. We've been reminded even today, Lord, to make sure that our will is in line with your will. We continue to pray that that would be the case for us. We commit ourselves to you now afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.